Welcome to the Masterclass. In this lesson, we're building a Subway to FX chain in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old-school drum and bass vibes. But the big focus is this: make it hit hard without losing headroom. We want that deep, chesty low end that sits under chopped breaks, not a bloated sub that swallows the whole mix. So think of the sub as the foundation, not the star of the show. If the sub starts sounding huge only because it's overprocessed, that usually means it's interfering with the groove. The goal here is controlled low-end impact. Solid, stable, musical, and still loud enough to feel exciting. Before we touch any effects, start with a clean source. A sine wave is the safest starting point. Triangle wave can also work if you're layering under a Reese or a more aggressive bass. Keep the actual sub-layer simple. Let the movement come from the mid-range layer. That's very important in jungle and old-school DNB, because the breakbeat already brings plenty of rhythmic chaos. The sub should anchor the track, not compete with it. First in the chain, add utility. This is the foundation. Set the width to 0% or hit mono, because low end should stay centered and phase stable. If the bass is stereo in the sub region, you can end up with a weak club translation, phase cancellation, and bass that feels impressive in headphones but disappears on a big system. If needed, trim the gain a little here too. Start conservative. We're protecting headroom from the beginning. Next, add EQ8. This is where you clean up the low-end battlefield. If your source has unwanted rumble, use a gentle high pass somewhere around 20 to 30 Hz. Don't get aggressive and start carving out the note that actually gives the bass its weight. If the low mids are muddy, a small dip around 200 to 350 Hz can open things up nicely. That range often gets crowded in jungle because the breakbeat, snare body, and bass all fight in the same zone. A little cleanup there can make the whole mix breathe more. If the bass needs a touch more punch, you can gently boost somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz, but only if it doesn't clash with the kick. Always remember the musical note matters. If your track is in a key where the sub fundamental lands in a useful area, protect it. Don't EQ by habit, EQ by purpose. Now add saturator. This is one of the secrets to getting sub weight that translates beyond just the deepest speakers. A pure sine can be massive in the room, but almost invisible on smaller systems. A little saturation adds harmonics, and those harmonics help the ear identify the bass even when the actual sub is not fully audible. Start with around 1.5 to 4 dB of drive. Turn soft clip on. Then match the output so you're comparing fairly. If it's louder, it will seem better. That's why level matching is so important. Bypass test the device at roughly the same loudness and ask yourself whether it actually sounds better, not just louder. The best sign you're in the right zone is this. The bass feels thicker and more present, but the fundamental still stays strong. If it starts getting fuzzy, grainy, or thin, pull back the drive. You want harmonic support, not distortion for its own sake. If you want more density and attitude, add drum bus after saturator. Use it carefully. This can be brilliant for harder jungle energy and old-school roughness, but it's very easy to overdo. A little drive can help the bass feel like it's pushing through the speakers instead of just sitting underneath them. Keep boom extremely restrained, or leave it off on a true sub layer. Boom can sound huge in solo and terrible in the full mix. That's one of the classic mistakes. In this style, soloed bass can lie to you. The mix is the truth. A good starting point is modest drive, very light crunch or none at all, and transient left alone. If the top end gets fizzy, use damp. And again, volume match the output against bypass. If drum bus only sounds better because it's louder, it's not really helping. After that, add gentle compression. Glue compressor works nicely here, or a standard compressor if you want more control. The point is not to squash the bass flat. The point is to keep it consistent when the arrangement gets busy. In jungle, the breakbeat can be very active, and the low end needs to stay in place while all that rhythmic detail dances around it. Aim for maybe 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. A 2:1 ratio is a good starting point. Set the attack fairly slow so you keep some punch, and use auto-release or a medium release so the bass breathes naturally. If the kick and sub relationship needs more space, use sidechain compression to the kick, but keep it subtle. This is not an EDM ducking effect. We're not trying to make the bass pump dramatically. We're trying to make room. In old-school jungle, the break often already has strong kick transients, so sometimes you barely need any sidechain at all. If you do use it, keep the release in a natural range and make sure the groove still feels alive. Now for the safety net. Limiter at the end. Set the ceiling around minus 1 dB, maybe minus 0.8 if you want to be extra cautious. The limiter should barely work. It is there to catch occasional peaks, not to make the bass loud. If it's constantly clamping down, your chain is too hot somewhere earlier. Pull levels back instead of asking the limiter to do all the work. Here's the important bigger picture. Gain staging is the secret to keeping headroom. DNB can tempt you into building everything too hot, because the genre is energetic, and the low end feels exciting. But if your master is clipping while you're still arranging, that's not powerful, it's just overcooked. Start with a conservative bass patch level. Trim with utility if needed. Match the output of your effect stages so each bypass comparison is honest. And keep an eye on the master, without depending on the limiter to rescue the mix. Now let's talk about layering, because this is where the classic jungle vibe really comes alive. Often the best setup is two layers. Layer 1 is the sub. Mono, clean, simple, and controlled. Layer 2 is the mid-bass or character layer. Reese, saw, filtered sample, or a resampled growl. That second layer can be stereo and more aggressive, but high pass it so it doesn't fight the sub. In that layer, you can use chorus, phaser flanger, auto filter, saturator, overdrive, or even a bit of redux for grit. This way the sub stays pure, while the top layer gives you that nasty old-school movement. If you want extra heft without cluttering the main sub, use a return track for parallel grit. That's a very smart move. Put saturator or overdrive on the return. High pass it around 120 Hz or so and maybe add a little EQ shaping or subtle redux. Then send a small amount of the bass to it and blend underneath. That gives you extra audibility and character while keeping the core sub clean. In other words, use return tracks for character, not for the foundation. You can also get a lot of movement from automation. Try automating a tiny bit more saturator drive in the second half of an 8-bar phrase. Or automate filter cutoff so the bass opens up slightly during the drop. Or automate the amount of parallel grit. These small changes can make the bass feel alive without increasing the peak level very much. That's a huge pro move. Energy through texture, not just volume. Another advanced approach is frequency splitting. Instead of processing the entire bass in one chain, split it into low and mid bands using an audio effect rack with two chains. Keep the low band clean, mono, and minimal. Let the mid band handle saturation, movement, stereo width, and any aggression. This gives you more control, because the sub remains stable while the upper bass gets nastier. It's a really effective way to keep headroom while still making the sound feel big. A few more sound design tips. If you want the bass to translate better on small speakers, create a very quiet harmonic layer above the sub. Duplicate the bass. High pass the copy around 150 to 250 Hz, distort it lightly, and keep it low in the mix. That gives the ear something to lock onto without compromising the deep end. For a more old school, woody feel, try a short pluck or band pass layer with a tiny pitch envelope. That can make the bass feel more like a sample instrument and less like a plain synth tone. Also, watch the transient relationship between the bass and the break. This matters a lot in jungle. If the bass note starts exactly on a kick transient, you can end up with low-end pileups. Sometimes a tiny nudge, or slightly shorter note lengths, makes the whole groove tighter and cleaner. This is the kind of detail that separates a decent low-end from one that actually slaps. Here's a simple practice setup. Make a 180 BPM project. Drop in a chopped breakbeat or an amen-style loop. Add a sine sub. Write a simple two-note bassline in the root and fifth. Then build the chain. Utility for mono, EQ8 with a high pass around 25 Hz and maybe a small dip around 250 Hz if it's muddy, saturator at about 2.5 dB with soft clip-on, glue compressor for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction, and a limiter at minus 1 dB ceiling. Balance it against the breakbeat, then print it to audio and compare the clean version, the saturated version, and the saturated plus compressed version. Ask yourself which one feels heaviest without making the master choke. That's the Riedel challenge, stronger, not just louder. A really useful exercise is to bounce three versions of the bass. One clean, one medium weight, and one more aggressive. Then compare them in the full track. Check whether the kick still cuts through, whether the bass remains audible on smaller speakers, and whether the master has enough room for the drums. In this style, the best version is often not the one that sounds most exciting soloed. It's the one that supports the whole groove. And when you're arranging, think like a dancer. Not a limiter. Let the sub drop out for a bar before a return if you want the re-entry to feel massive. Alternate between sparse bass phrases and fuller ones. Use call and response between bass stabs and the breakbeat. Automate texture, not just fader level. Those choices create movement and tension, while preserving headroom. So the core formula is simple. Mono the sub. Clean the low end. Add gentle saturation. Use light compression. Keep the limiter as safety only, and leave space for the breakbeats to breathe. If your bass sounds massive but the mix collapses, something's wrong. If it sounds deep, clear, and powerful while the drums still punch through, you're in the zone. That's the vibe. Build for impact, not just loudness. That's how you get proper jungle weight in Ableton Live 12 without losing headroom.